Welcome everyone to this episode of the WDW Discussion Show. This is what we have in store for you guys. Brandon.
We will have a fascinating look at the acquisition of Star Wars by the Disney Company.
And Chris.
And then we're going to have a retrospective review of Doug Live in our history segment.
Yes, and there's no other segment, so Nick's left out, and he's also joining us. How are you?
Hey guys. I'll just be right here.
Yeah, all that and more on this week's edition of the WDW Discussion Show. So we're going to talk about Star Wars now. Joining me is Nick and Brandon. How are you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic.
This is recorded before the actual show, so I don't know if you guys are going to be there for the actual show. Well, you probably, but
I hope so.
Anyways, everybody's heard at this point, if you haven't been living in a box, just listening to our shows, Disney has purchased Lucasfilm for $4.5 billion. And with that comes Star Wars.
Indiana Jones franchise, I'm pretty sure.
Skywalker Ranch. That's all under... that's all in the deal, like the Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah.
Which worked on such rides as Star Tours and Transformers, which will be coming to Universal Orlando very soon.
But yes, with this, we could actually see some more of the Star Wars franchise coming to Walt Disney World, as they're coming out with the next three movies, next three sequels, episodes 7, 8, and 9, to be released. Episode 7 for 2015, followed by episodes 8 and 9 within the next 7 years.
Yeah, well, for the first episode 7, for slated for 2015 release, that's only 3 hours for one of the biggest movies.
What are they going to do?
Are they going to take three years? Well, I'm sure they'll have all of them in partial production mode if they have a story. So, I mean, the last two will, you know, to save on costs, I'm sure, for building show sets and utilizing, I guess, acreage or property or wherever they're going to film.
Where do you think the ideas for these next movies are going to come from? It would be from George Lucas himself, because he's still a consultant.
I'm pretty sure he has push still on which direction the movies will be going, because I'm sure since even way back when, he's kind of probably had ideas for where it could go, even though Darth Vader was killed off and the Sith, blah, 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 killed off. And I'm sure he has ideas that are going to be used in the movies.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, Kathleen Kennedy, right, is the name of the broad. Well, she co-founded Amblin Entertainment with Steven Spielberg. She produced E.T. and Jurassic Park and, you know, other stuff with Indiana Jones. She's second to Spielberg in terms of domestic box office receipts with over $5.2 billion.
Wow, not too bad.
Box office, yeah. That's right. She's president of Lucasfilm now, and the brand manager of the Star Wars franchise. Now that Disney's purchased Lucasfilm,
well, it sounds like it's in good hands. With that kind of resume.
Yeah.
I mean, it only made sense that she actually moved over there in June. There's something that was going to happen. Why would she just be made the co-chair of Lucasfilm under George Lucas, who, with so late after the movies, after episode 3, there had to be something that, you know, people are speculating that there was something that was going to happen.
So did we, I mean, before all this went down just a week or two ago, did we know about episode 7, 8, 9? Was that even on the table? Or did that just come about right when, bam, Disney buys Lucasfilm and, oh, here, we're making more movies? Or was it always planned to make more movies?
I don't think it was planned by George Lucas. He certainly was done making Star Wars movies.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So this is just came about.
Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to move it to somebody else to create the movies.
Yeah, I remember like around the time when episode 1 came out that he was talking, you know, oh, I've got ideas for 7, 8, and 9, but it kind of seemed like once, you know, episode 3 was finished that he just kind of lost all interest in doing them. So it just kind of like came out of nowhere really for this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's kind of
Disney.
Huge.
Disney has pretty much became the New York Yankees. Buying all the talent and winning the World Series with money.
I hope they win the World Series then.
Yeah, that's they're going to buy the Yankees next. Then they'll literally be the Yankees.
kind of like the Mighty Ducks, the Anaheim Duck.
But yeah, Mickey Mouse is going to be playing Luke Skywalker in the next movie. Can't wait.
Dude, I hope they have some animated... Since they've come out with the action figures of Donald Duck as Darth Maul and all that stuff, maybe they should make an animated...
I don't think they're going to make those.
...shorts.
Please, I hope they don't make the 5-5 in the movie.
No, not the movie. I'm saying animated shorts. What?
Yeah, it could be something.
I don't like that idea. I don't know. Just me personally.
Hey, like a spoof or something?
Yeah, yeah. Just a 7...
I was a Star Wars fan before I was a Disney fan. Now I'm not really a Star Wars fan, but...
Do you watch that Clone Wars? Have you ever seen it? That animated show? Is that on Cartoon Network?
It was.
Clone Wars, yeah, I saw that. They're bringing back like a bunch of guys from the old movies, I guess. I thought they were going to bring back Darth Maul in these... I think... Are they done with that show, though?
I have no idea.
They stopped making it? I don't know.
I haven't heard any new ideas about it or anything. Like, I think somebody said... I don't know. Don't quote me on this, but they said it's done, but I don't know.
How many episodes did they have, or how long did it run?
It's at least 5 seasons, I think.
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'll throw this in there. Looks like that still it's on season 5, The Clone Wars, and it's still going, but they might leave Cartoon Network next year. So that's what just clearing that up so nobody shoots me.
Going to Disney XD, dude?
Why is it on Cartoon Network? It doesn't even make sense.
It's... Well, that's what they're saying. It could possibly go to Disney XD or one of those channels next year. So.
Why was it on Cartoon Network in the... Well, I know, because it wasn't Disney, but
right.
They have to take it off the air in Cartoon Network now. But it wasn't... Was it even produced by Lucas?
Yeah, I think he wrote some... Didn't he, like, he was a consultant on it, at least, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
He had to have been.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think... What do you expect to see in these next 7 movies? I mean... They're going to come up with new characters. They're going to have to. I mean, not the Sith. I don't know. Maybe the new Sith Lord or something.
There's a lot of books, and there's like... Star Wars, don't shoot me. I've never read these books, but I know there's like an expanded universe like outside of the films, and then...
There are millions of books.
Yeah. Like, there's characters and storylines all through those books that had, like... You know, some people I saw were tweeting and stuff, like, oh, I hope they make this storyline into the next 3 movies or whatever. So, there's obviously, like, a lot of characters and material they can go for, so... I think we'll see a lot of, you know... It maybe not the exact storylines from there, but we'll probably see some of the further universe, you know, used at the new movies, so... And I mean, I'm sure they could always make new characters, but I would definitely expect to see that fans are somewhat more familiar with. So.
Yeah, see, I haven't read any books or even gone past the movies. I haven't even seen that cartoon show, so I'm really not.
I read a series of, I don't know if they were 4 kids, but they weren't big books, but they were like 8 in a series. But none of them really went after, actually none of them even went towards Jedi or Sith. That kind of storyline. It was just like a couple of normal people hanging around the cities and planets, the galaxies that were in Star Wars. So that didn't really, it didn't really have anything to do with, you know, villains.
So there was nothing about, like, the Republic and the Empire and... Yeah.
Nothing.
Interesting. Because I think that they'd pretty much kind of have to stick with that storyline in a way. It's like the good versus evil, blah, blah, you know, the Empire. I mean, the Empire's got to somehow.
Maybe we should bump up our Sith or our Star Wars intelligence.
Yeah, before we talk about it.
If a regular Star Wars fan was listening to this show and, like, we're just talking about our ass, pretty much. I don't know what the hell's... We don't know what the hell we're talking about.
So we better speculate on theme parks, because that's what we're good at.
Yeah. So, definitely. With this purchase, there are some logical ways of Star Wars characters being incorporated into the parks and where they could be put. And we have some ideas of what we would like to see put into the parks and where and how. So I'll start off with the most logical. An expansion at the Hollywood Studios would be okay. Taking up Sounds Dangerous, Soundstage, let's say the ABC Commissary, Sci-Fi Dine, and all that area. And just before the Streets of America. I don't think they need to take up the Streets of America, but it all depends. All this is just ruining the real theme of a studio park, but anyway.
It's not a studio park anymore.
Not really, no. But just...
It's gone. It's been done.
This is going to suck out the last parts of it.
Who cares now at this point, man? It's such a wreck and a mess and ridiculous that who cares? Do you think this is going to affect Cars Land coming to the studios at all?
Because
personally, I'd rather see this. I'd rather scratch the whole Cars Land thing. Take that money, use it for Star Wars. I mean, expansion.
Well, I don't think that's... I mean, you got two big franchises here. You got Pixar and Star Wars. Both can... It's not like the Disney strapped for cash and we could do one or the other.
Well, they're only going to do one or the other. I mean, I really...
It depends. I mean, if they do a full scale... Not full scale, but a Cars Land. Maybe not as big as the one in California. It's not like we know what the heck how big they're gonna do with Star Wars, but if they do Cars Land here, then the Star Wars Land couldn't be like, you know, Star Wars Land. We could see a couple attractions, maybe, and then more additions to the Pixar place.
But yeah, see, I don't see that doing it justice. I mean, like, yeah, hey, we'll throw in maybe the cantina, you know, bar area and a gift shop, another gift shop, and then calling it good and just sticking with Cars Land there. I mean, I don't see that doing it justice.
No,
because we do have a Cars Land already, and I know it's popular, and yeah, it will bring in money, but...
Well, I mean, who knows if they want to, if we're going to see anything happen before all these movies are put out.
Right.
That could be the case. And they just don't want to get it done until we have all these new characters. And main focuses aren't on the characters that are there now.
True. Right. Which, I guess, with the new films coming out, it'd be... I mean, at the least, maybe a new scene or two in Star Tours that you can actually go to. You know, maybe even a month or two before the movie comes out, or half a year. When you start seeing stuff pop up about the movie, I think that'd be just completely logical. To get people excited for the franchise. And I mean, if they're doing Avenger Rails and Tron Rails and stuff like that, what better than visit these places before you go see them in the movie?
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, that's like what they're being synergistic nowadays, you know. That'll definitely, I saw a lot of people speculating that could be one of the things they do, and, you know, bring in new character meet and greets and stuff like that into the park. You know, it'll be easily to put it, you know, be easily to get the good promotions for it. So
think if the movie came out right during Star Wars weekends, like that.
Oh,
month.
That would be huge. I mean, you could have it. I mean, I don't know if they have a place to show it. Like, they could probably do Downtown Disney, but you could have the movie premiering there, and then a big old party on Star Wars weekends would be just that much bigger. You know,
And just think if they actually do build attractions and themed areas, how much better Star Wars Weekends would be. Which, I mean, if it's built at Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be the most logical place to do it. I mean, I've seen where people said they could move into the parking lot area and expand that way towards the, you know, current toll plaza there. So there's, you know, there's a lot of they could play with. And I think if they're going to do something like a land, it'd be much better to, more effective if they just did it at Hollywood Studios and built a huge, you know, a lot of Star Wars stuff there and really just, you know, because it's not got, it's like pretty much disjointed as it is. So it'd be probably most effective to build all their Star Wars stuff there instead of like spreading it out. But
so it turned into you have Sunset, Hollywood, and you have Tower of Terror and that stuff, and then pretty much Pixar Place and Star
Animation
Wars
Courtyard,
Star Wars area. Well, yeah, you could keep that.
I mean, but imagine. Yeah. Well, I'd see that being taken up by Pixar at some point.
And then, yeah, you know, maybe a little Muppets area in between, because they own the Muppets and they haven't done anything with that. So,
well, what's there now besides that?
Like they could put in. I've always heard the rumor that they could build like a Swedish chef restaurant. That'd be something nice to tie in, and you know.
That'd be awesome. So attraction-wise, what do you guys think could come to studios that theme to Star Wars? I'm focusing on attractions.
Well, I'll throw out the one I had a couple ideas, and this one just kind of, it's not exactly an attraction. It's for the Great Movie Ride, and you know, Star Wars is, it fits in the great movie category. I'd like to see if they ever replaced like one of the gangster scenes in an update. I'd like to see, maybe this is just something stupid I guess, but have like Darth Vader or Stormtroopers come out and hijack your car. I think that'd be kind of cool, like a way to do something different. Like you make a space scene, like remove the aliens and then have Star Wars there. Maybe thought that's something.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic actually.
Like that first scene in episode 4, the rebels are setting up and they're gonna, and then, you know, Darth Vader and Stormtroopers come through the door and take the vehicle.
Right, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
And then you have an effect where he grabs your tram rider's throat, you know, with the force, and lifts him up off the ground, so somehow they're lifting up off the ground 20 feet away because he's choking him with the force.
Like the...
And then throws him against the wall.
Like, yeah, he's got a harness on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Nice. Be great effects, man. Like, oh, he just killed that guy. And then he pops back up later in the Indiana Jones scene. Darth Vader tries to steal the ruby.
Oh,
that's my ruby.
I'm in space, but I need this.
No, that's a good idea. I mean, if they don't do anything else, yeah, a couple added scenes in the Great Movie Ride would be awesome. I mean, that seems completely logical right now without a ton of money. I guess if it's on the docket for a refurb, which a lot of the scenes are kind of dated and, you know, broken. Just not quite what they were, I mean, in the public eye. Yeah, and
yeah,
broken.
References.
So,
like the gangster scene, every time I've gotten that lately, it's just been something's wrong with like the cars, either in the tunnel or it's not, you know, it's stuck parked out there already. So
it's always, yeah, it's always out there. I think when I went there, it actually did roll out.
That doesn't seem like a difficult thing to fix. I don't get that.
Make the wheels move.
Yeah, it's on a track anyways, just push it forward and push it back. Should have cast members back there pushing the car out.
I was thinking.
So I haven't seen it. Okay, what's your?
No. Go first.
No, just because if they're gonna go through, they're gonna do Cars Land. So there's the Pixar money right there. Are they gonna do a Monsters Inc. roller coaster still? I wonder. I mean, if not, transfer that idea over to. It'd be super easy to do a Star Wars semi-themed roller coaster.
Yeah, I could see if they don't do. I mean, if they want to do more with Star Wars, then scrap the Monsters Inc. coaster idea.
Yeah, I'd much rather have a Star Wars-themed roller coaster than a Monsters Inc.-themed roller coaster. No offense to Monsters Inc., because I like the movie, but if they're doing all this Cars Land stuff,
yeah,
I think that'd be a great idea. Even if they want, you know, to cheap out kind of like Aerosmith style and have it, you know, super Q-line and everything, very well themed, and then just kind of, you know, a dark space with a crazy roller coaster or maybe a, oh, look, there's the Death Star or something like that.
It'd definitely be cool, like, you know, that's go through like actual sets that where you think like, you know, the Millennium Falcon when it goes through on episode six, you know, when you're trying to get out before it explodes, something like that would be pretty cool.
Or a hybrid, yeah, like a hybrid ride kind of, you know, with show scenes and thrill element, so you could please everybody. Because the easiest thing to do with Star Wars is something like Star Tours, which is simulator and like space travel, which is, you know, we have that, so yes. They're not going to make something like that, but something hybridish with screens, with show scenes, and the thrill element, you know.
Kind of like Forbidden Journey Mummy kind of ride?
Yeah.
Something like that?
There are so many vehicles that they could do. There are so many vehicles in Star Wars movies that are available. I mean, I don't know if there's much more they can do outside of Star Tours when it comes to simulation.
I mean, yeah, that's done and done. Plus, they cover the gamut with Star Tours. I mean, you pretty much go everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, a thrill ride would be the only thing. But we're not Imagineers, so don't get mad at us for coming up with stupid ideas.
Yeah, but it'd be kind, you know, kind of like Radiator Springs Racers, because isn't there? I haven't ridden it personally, but I guess I have watched a ride through where you kind of do have that thrill element and somewhat show scenes.
Or even have an attraction that is like, you know, Spider-Man or Harry Potter or...
Yeah, KUKA arm technology for Star Wars would work out.
Yeah, it would be great, but, I mean, like, they could do something like that, and it would be awesome, but I don't know how they'd move from scene to scene, because they're, you know, galaxies.
You jump to light speed.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing.
But the thing is, what kind of vehicle would you be in?
Choose your own vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine,
even
like...
better.
You start off choosing your own vehicle, and then you...
But you're already in the vehicle, or if you're in the pre-show.
No, that's what
how are they going to do that? How are they going to do that when you walk into the vehicle?
You give your vehicle a paint job, and then you try and jump to light speed, and you're flying the Millennium Falcon, and then it doesn't work.
Why are you flying the Millennium Falcon?
Why not? Because the...
Well, jump... you'll fly in the vehicle of your choice. And
no,
I don't
but
know
that's if, the scenario with the Millennium Falcon, because
I don't know if it's going to be believable if you're moving through show sets in a huge starship like Millennium Falcon. But whatever.
All right, George.
He's breaking canon.
Yeah. They could have really fluent animatronics. And I don't think I think it'd be best working with animatronics in Star Wars, because human animatronics, I think we're pretty much past that and not really believable. It wouldn't be right to make something classic when you can make it look brand new and more lifelike. But with Star Wars characters, you could do even more, since there are not human, not all human characters like have. Like a Darth Vader animatronic, where you don't really have to show skin. You make it believable.
Body shape. It's just straight. I just have him throwing people around, using the force.
Cutting people in half.
Yeah, man.
Or even for earlier characters. One of my favorite characters is General Grievous. And he's not a Sith Lord. He's a robot. He's a droid. But he has four arms and he has four lightsabers, and he just cuts people up. That would be awesome. I like him.
Animatronic lightsaber battle.
Yeah.
We need to come really far with animatronics.
Disney, if you're listening, give people their own lightsabers in the ride, just like you do with Sources of the Magic Kingdom, and let them have at it with a Sith Lord of their choosing.
I'll take a blaster. I'll just sit there and shoot him.
Are you going to shoot first?
You don't want close-up combat?
No, not with a dude with four arms and four freaking lightsabers. Yeah. I'd lose in an instant.
What if... Well, I mean, yeah. That's how Obi-Wan Kenobi beat him. He shot him in the heart, or the lungs, I guess, with his blaster.
Exactly.
So... But what about, a Boba Fett animatronic even, where he shoots off on his jump pack?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He lands in the next scene or something. I mean, what kind of show scenes could they do in these rides? You start off, I don't know.
You almost have to pick and choose, because you're not going to go through... It can't be like a chronological Star Wars show scene dark ride, because that'd take forever.
Yeah.
And otherwise it'd be too short. You know, each show scene trying to pack too much information in, you know, one little show scene. So it almost have to be... Geez, I don't know. That'd be tough. Because what do you choose? You know, great movie ride type. I mean, that's why I like your idea, Brandon, of putting a couple different scenes or something like that in the great movie ride, because...
Yeah.
You know, then you pick the most memorable
iconic
thing.
Yeah.
I think you could start off either one of the, you know, Rebel ship, or like they do in Star Tours, or one of the planets. What are the planets that they do? Dagobah, Hoth,
Kashyyyk,
Bespin.
Well, not like a planet that isn't already run by the Empire that you're safe in. Perhaps Tatooine, where the story starts.
Yeah.
And you can leave on the Millennium Falcon.
What if they made like a Toy Story Midway Mania kind of ride with Star Tours or Star Wars?
You know, just having a gun. Just battling guys with your lasers all the way through the ride? That would be cool.
Yeah.
I would not be against that.
I mean, we already know it's going to pack people in, because look at Toy Story Mania. I mean, you could put anything in there and it'd still be crazy as hell. You know, the lines would still be 2 hours long, so.
But why would you put that in Hot Studios? Because, I don't know.
Well,
I think people would start complaining, why are there two shooter rides in this park?
Yeah, you could do that, or, you know,
or
Magic Kingdom.
Or they have this place called Magic Kingdom, and in the Magic Kingdom they have, and in Tomorrowland they already have a shooter attraction. If you got that out, who needs Buzz Lightyear? You got that out, and you put in the Star Wars thing, and boom. One out of three terrible attractions out of there now are gone.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to just a layover on Buzz Lightyear for Star Wars, like, if they did that, because, like, it just... I rode it the other day, and it just seemed so, like, shitty for... Like, when you ride Men in Black, you can pick your gun up and shoot at stuff, and, like, on Buzz Lightyear, you're sitting there fighting with the joystick, you know, okay, I'm going to aim this way, hit the secret target, and then... You know, it's like, it's kind of crappy, but
they don't have to change the track. They could get new vehicles and have more fluid motions within the vehicles.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to shoot cardboard cutouts anymore, though.
No, but no. You can change those sets and have, I don't know what you want to. You should have a choice between a blaster, but I don't know if you can reach targets with a lightsaber.
Stand up and you start swinging.
Maybe you could have your own turret in the vehicle, and they could. You just call it the turret in the vehicle and not have your own blaster, but kind of what they have now. But
that's where the Kuga arm would be sweet, if you were in one of those, like in the Millennium Falcon when they're shooting. You know, at the turret guns, because they turn and that whole thing turns and you get to look all over, so you could almost look, you know, 270 degrees up, down, and around and move that thing around.
You could have, you could have moving target. Well, I don't want to shoot cardboard cutouts, like you said, but animatronics. You could shoot animatronics, because that's what they do in Men in Black. But who knows if Disney would want to put all that effort towards making animatronic, because we know how great it is already with engineering those things and repairing.
So speaking of the Buzz Lightyear, I mean, how do you guys feel about other parks? Star Wars and other parks? Because I know there's some people that absolutely hate the idea and know it should stick in Hollywood Studios, and then
Let's put Endor in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Come on. Rather than Avatar, just have a bunch of Ewoks running around.
Wicked meet and greet.
I'd rather meet Ewoks than large blue freaky people.
Yeah,
true.
Wearing a loincloth.
But it wouldn't really. I guess they could do that whole setup and then have a rebel base there, and then do an attraction where you fly away from the rebel base and go to different galaxies, just like Star Tours.
Oh no, a speeder bike! Now that would be. If they want to put a speeder bike coaster in, like in, you know, or ride with like a Kooka arm, you know, just imagine going through a forest like. On something but like it, that.
The thing with that is, the thing with that is, it's only one. It's a flat track. Can't go, you know, no big drops or anything unless you go up.
Well,
Slave Leia. I want to meet Slave Leia in the parks.
Definitely.
Yes.
I want to be the guy that gets to interview him all for Slave Leia.
The Slave Leia handler. That's
what you can have, like, a, you know, put the stadium or audience, you know, the seats around, focusing on one, you know, center thing where the Jedi Council is taking place. And then, I don't know, a Sith attack happens and they start fighting.
And put in Stitch's Great Escape?
No. Oh, hey. There's an idea. There you go, Nick.
Yeah, yes. It works. That's right. I thought you were going with that.
No, I was just going to say random place, but...
All right, there. We got rid of two Pixar attractions in Tomorrowland. We just...
Well, the Buzz Lightyear isn't... Neither of them are Pixar.
Buzz, Toy Story?
Buzz Lightyear of Star Command is an animated series, which was created by Disney, and Stitch is created by Disney.
Oh, well, yeah.
Animation.
You wouldn't consider... Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
I always thought it was more off of the movie. The movie than the TV show. I didn't really think of that.
Yeah, if you in the gift shop, you know, you got those guy that big red guy in the prison cell.
Yeah, Zurg.
No, the guy next to him. There's two.
Oh,
there's two
I haven't
cells.
Really paid attention to
that. Actually, no. One of the other guy isn't in the cell, but the big red guy. I remember him from the animated series.
Yeah.
Which I gotta watch that. They had one movie about it, and then they had an animated series, I believe. And then just have the Jedi Council sitting there, all of them. They got Mace Windu, Yoda, Kit Fisto, the guy with the big long green tentacles on the back of his head, like for his hair. I don't know who the other ones are.
Well, that's pretty good.
Ki-Adi Mundi, the guy with the pinhead. And Aayla Secura, the Mos Eisley Cantina. Do you think that could have animatronics within the restaurant or live actors, stuff like that?
I think animatronics would be pretty much the given for the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's like so many...
like animatronic country bears, but instead it's those guys.
But then they'd have to have, like, Streetmosphere... Star Wars characters that are just hanging around there, sitting at the bar, and sitting at different tables.
Right. Yeah.
So you run into some crazy ass aliens.
He said he doesn't like you.
Well, I'm sorry.
I don't like you either.
Don't stare at me.
That'd be awesome. Just giving you hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forget the villains thing. That'd be way better.
Just have a bunch of. I don't know. Bounty hunters walk in and start a gunfight in there.
No, I think that I think animatronics would work perfect for the band, even though I guess they'd have to write some more music.
Maybe they could have like a photo op with dead Uncle Owen and his aunt next to their house.
They're burnt bodies.
We'd have a photo op with stormtroopers.
Wasn't there an action figure of burnt Uncle Owen and I think I saw that too, like holy cow, are you kidding?
That's awesome.
Now Jabba the Hutt, that would be an interesting, you know, meet and greet, like if they made a huge animatronic or something that would just like pulse or something.
It doesn't even have to It could be like one of those old animatronics too. It only has to move its lips and its tail.
Yeah, big long tongue that goes out
and blink. With Slave Leia sitting on top of it.
Yeah. That'd be the meet and greet. That'd be awesome. Sitting on Jabba with Slave Leia, taking a picture. Wow.
She starts choking. Trying the tongues pop.
Maybe you could feed the Jabba the Hutt animatronic those little weird things he eats.
Yeah.
Those slimy, whatever they are.
Have that little weird mouse guy or whatever it was.
That laughs all weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that on the video game. He'd sit there and make that stupid noise every time we'd like die. It's like or whatever.
And then I don't know, and then they could have like a live actor go fall through the trapdoor and eat that monster.
Oh man. I used to have one of those like an action figure as a kid. What was that guy called?
The big.
His name, yeah.
I have no idea.
He's in the Hyperspace Hoopla a lot. He's like really huge, like kind of looks like a, what is it? One of the dinosaurs from Dinosaur, the TV show, and like huge.
Yeah, yeah.
They have him as a walker. They have a character.
That's crazy.
Yeah, in Hyperspace Hoopla.
Wow.
You've never seen that?
Like, no. No.
You gotta look up a video. It's hilarious. Because he's always shaking his ass because it's so, the costume's so big.
Oh, I can't. Wow, I can't even picture that.
Yeah.
Oh. You know how freaked out I was when I saw Neum Numb, Numb in the sixth, episode six? The guy, in the Millennium Falcon with Lando, who laughs weird.
Oh, yeah.
That guy freaked me out.
Really?
Yeah, he has black eyes.
Yeah, he's...
And those lips.
Looks like a fish, kinda.
Yeah, he's a, he's a fish with human parts. So the guy who we were just talking about, the weird... I don't know what the hell he looks like. The weird rat guy. He's called Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb.
Oh, okay. He looks kind of like a monkey, but like skin, yeah, hair, or skinned, or hairless, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big ears with hair coming out of them.
A chihuahua monkey with the no hair.
So they could have an animatronic of him and bring him around on a cart like Remy. And then they open it up and that'll get him to turn tables quickly because all he does is laugh at your face and then you're like, oh gosh, I gotta get out of here.
Chuck, please.
Yeah, really.
I think they should remake Star Wars Episode 6 just so they could have that little rat guy get his head chopped off. Just add a scene with Luke jumping in that thing before it explodes and cutting his head off.
I got you, you little f***er.
You're gonna die, clown.
Oh man.
Okay. All right. So we have a series of puns that could be served straight out of the Star Wars cookbook, at any. Well, we'll call it. What should the name of the snack stand be called? It's a snack.
It's a snack.
And then have Admiral Ackbar's face. It's a snack. And then have, for beverages, we could have Hoth chocolate.
Nice.
We should get these rim drops going and just play them after every one of these.
You're going to have to edit it in.
Yeah, because I can't play it. Jawa Jive milkshakes. Skywalker smoothies. And Yoda soda.
Yoda soda.
Yoda soda.
I like that.
They could serve it in the LeBrew's, the LeFou's brew cups.
With a sticker of Yoda on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw those in Pinocchio's Village House on Saturday night. They've got Pinocchio and Jiminy Cricket on them in there.
Weird.
Same cup. I'm like, this is bull.
Yeah, that's super lame.
I thought I was getting a special cup when I bought the Who's Brew, and then it's like, nope.
Other snacks they could have are Dark Side Salsa.
Oh.
Ewok Eats. The Force Fruit Fun.
Ewok Eats, that could be what the place is called.
Right, yeah. Oh, that could be the quick service place.
Yep.
Ewok Eats. Jabba Jiggle, which would be...
What?
I assume that would be Jell-O. Jedi Juice Pops.
What was that? Jabba Jiggle?
Jabba Jiggle.
Want some Jabba Jiggle shots. So they... Give me a couple more of those Jabba Jiggles.
Have some blue milk. Okay. Tuscan Raider Taters. I don't know who'd eat taters in a theme park, but Death Star popcorn balls. I don't know anybody who eats popcorn balls. And Leia's buns.
Leia's buns.
Leia's buns.
That's perfect.
And for our, we can create a quick service place called Ewok Eats. And it could serve breakfast items like C-3PO pancakes. Mos Eisley morsels.
That's your bar food. Your snacks.
Ooh la la French toast.
What?
Because ooh la is, what the hell is ooh la? Ooh la is that dancer inside of Jabba's palace.
Oh, with the mouth? Like,
yeah.
Snout?
No, it's the one who's chained up.
Oh, yeah, alright, with
big tentacles.
Yeah.
That would be, I don't even know the name of that one, though. Princess Leia Danish Doze and Twin Sun Toast.
Twins Toast.
Because the Twin Sun setting in New Hope. For main courses, we could have Baba Fettuccine.
Yes, that's awesome. That's perfect.
Crazy Cantina Chili, which could also be served in the cantina. Galaxy Grilled Cheese. Greedo's Burritos.
Greedo's Burritos. Eat good. Them first.
Han Burgers. And Obi-Wan Kebabs.
That's good. Obi-Wan Kebabs.
TIE Fighter Ties.
TIE Fighter Ties?
Yeah. And for desserts, Bossk Brownies. He's a bounty hunter who looks like a Komodo dragon. Darth Vader dark chocolate sundaes. R2-D2 treats. Sand Trooper sandies. Wampa snow cakes. And Wookiee cookies, of course.
Wookiee cookies.
Dude, I think you could have a whole Italian restaurant, because then you'd have Vader vermicelli. You already said the Baba Fettuccine. I think pastas would be the easiest one to go with.
Yeah. I'm gonna look for more recipes, so hang on. They could have a snack stand called Admiral Snack Bar.
Yeah.
Just have all the snack stands named after Admiral Ackbar. First, a sit-down restaurant, sort of, where they serve breakfast, appetizers, entrees, and sandwiches for lunch. Have you seen Luke this morning? Would be the name of the breakfast menu. It's a flap, Jack. Yavin 4 egg omelet. Royal hairdo cinnamon rolls.
Royal hairdo.
See if you can't lock it down. TK421, why aren't you at your toast?
That's good.
And then for the sandwich menu called Death Starches, Aunt Berubin.
Oh, that sounds good.
My hoagie this is. Ham Solo Sandwich.
Yes.
Pulled Porkins Sandwich. Porkins is the star speeder pilot, who's really fat. C-3P Open Face Sandwich. Grand Moff Turkey Sandwich. That's no moon, that's a steak sandwich.
That's no moon.
Chew Bacon Cheeseburger. Scruffy looking Nerf Burger. Lando Calrissian's Bespin Burger. Han Shoot's First Appetizers, okay. Mon Calamari.
I've heard that one.
The Space Cruiser. Shrimp Coruscampi. Wonton Soup. Because of the Wonton Soup.
Oh, Wonton Ton Soup. That's like, okay.
Yeah. I Have You Chow. Der. Vader's on those chips.
Vader's on those chips.
BBQ X Wings. So, wings. And then for entrees, I'm Your Fodder. TIE Fighter. Ewok Stir Fry.
TIE Fighter?
Yeah. TIE, T-H-A-Y. TIE. Ewok Stir Fry.
That's what I said.
Steak on Target. Asteroid Field Filet. I Find Your Rack of Ribs Disturbing. I Might Have Expected You to Be Holding Vader's Quiche.
That's a long one. This menu is going to be so long because all the names are like a full sentence.
Jumping Through Hyperspace Isn't Like Dusting Crabs, Boy. And for vegetarians, we have Greens of Endor type foods. Ratatouille, Padme Thai, Boba Fett a wrap.
That's good.
Tusken Raider salad. With millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror, and we were suddenly salad.
That's a stretch.
Side dishes, Vader tots,
Vader tots,
and midichlorioni.
Midichlorioni.
Midichlorioni. There we go. And cheese.
Say that five times fast.
Desserts of Tatooine, frozen Carmelite, Obi-Wan cannoli.
Didn't I say that?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Dude, they're taking my ideas, man.
This Is No Cake. Dagobana split. No, Dago banana split. Let the cookie win.
Let the cookie win.
Salacious crumb cake. Princess Leia cake can be served. Princess Amidala mode.
A la mode.
A la mode.
Princess Amidala mode.
Yeah. Jar Jar drinks. Twin Sun tea, we already said. Hot chocolate, yep. Orange juice, extra pulpatine. Do or do not, there is no chai. Darth Maul, yep. I can't milkshake him. Aquijon gin and tonic.
Nice.
You, like your father, are now wine. Bottomless Psylocke pitchers.
They wouldn't have those at Disney. Bottomless pitchers.
No. Yeah.
And I give credit to, from all those nerd news and reviews, the blog, I guess, is the blog article. So yeah, that's those are some interesting names.
Nope.
Do you guys have any more ideas for what they could do in the parks?
How about what do you think they are actually going to do? I mean, we've put out a bunch of ideas, but do you think they're actually going to do something, or are they just going to sit on the franchise like Marvel? I guess they can't.
Well, I see that they could do something. They can sort of fix Tomorrowland at Disneyland. They could do a lot there because that place needs some help. In Hollywood Studios, I do see them expanding from Star Tours, whether it be into quick service
Backlot
place.
Express.
Cantina, maybe. But that wouldn't make much sense because you have Tatooine as the gift shop, as Tatooine Traders, mm-hmm. and then having to go. I mean, the theming wouldn't really make sense.
They could always change it, though, you know? I mean, it's probably not too hard to retheme a gift shop, so.
Yeah, some faux rock work on the exterior and remodel on the inside. So, should we do a. In conclusion, I am happy about Star Wars and Lucas films.
Yeah, so pretty much this is really going to help the Disney company and the Disney parks, hopefully.
I hope it helps the parks.
Nice. The movie franchise is going to do great.
Yeah, well, they won't make their money off the movies. They'll make plenty of money off the movies. It's just a matter of please put it in the park for the fans.
Yep. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is money on all fronts for them. Like, merchandise, that, you know, if they're going to have so many, like, all the, if they're going to have control over the toys and stuff like that now, and they can, you know, they got the merchandise, they got the movies, they've got the theme parks, and they can, they're getting it from all fronts now, so it's definitely a win on every level.
And people are already saying that it's the Potter Swatter.
If anything's yeah, going to be, this would be it.
Yeah.
Yes, but we'll see. We don't know that yet.
Yeah, I mean, we have no idea what they're going to do. It's like,
yeah,
we're basically speculating here, and like, this is before December 6th, which we don't even know what they're going to say that day, if they're going to even announce anything. And
I'm not going to name the people who said this, but I bet they'll be surprised if they remove Epcot and change it to a Star Wars theme park. I bet they'd be very upset about that if they took away Epcot totally from them.
Yeah. Like, I'd definitely put my foot down on that one. That, you know, like, I saw the Star Tour, you know, Spaceship Earth, the Death Star
Death
pictures.
Star.
It was funny. Yeah, it's, come on. It's, that's just stupid.
Oh, that's concept art. Yeah. Oh, that's really? Kyle, the parking attendant, posted that.
Oh, so they're going to...
He leaked that. That's actual concept.
Just like the Avatar plans.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for our Star Wars discussion. Okay, so now it's time for our history segment for this week. Joining me is Chris Wakefield. How are you, Chris?
Hello.
And our subject for this week isn't an Epcot attraction. This is actually a surprise.
Thank God.
Yeah.
We you are mean going... there's more Disney history than Epcot?
Yes, of course. we're talking about the short-lived attraction at Disney's MGM Studios, now Hollywood Studios, Doug Live, and joining us, our expert on Doug Live, Gary Maselli.
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. So, how did you come into knowing so much about this show?
Well, I saw it in 2000, back when it was called MGM Studios, now it's called Hollywood Studios. But I saw it back then, I loved it. I was able to find it, you know, several years later, got to meet some of the cast, and the old cast, and then learned about the show through the directors, and it was a really good show that was there. Surprised it didn't last longer.
Right. Now, Doug originally aired on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
How was the show acquired by Disney?
Well, the rights. Jim Jenkins sold the rights to Jim Jenkins owned Doug, and he sold the rights to Disney. It's and Disney aired the brand spanking new Doug during 1996, and they made 65 episodes until they cut a Tron and came out with Doug's first movie in 1999.
Okay. In 2011, the Nickelodeon series became syndicated on Teen Nicks, then newly debuted on the 90s Are All That
Block. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Is that still on the air today?
Yeah, that is. That's on like midnight or something. They have that. They have Doug. They have Keenan and Kel. They have All That, and they have Ren and Stimpy. I think they have a few of those.
Mm-hmm. I think they have Rugrats too.
Yeah.
So, what do you know about how Disney came along to creating a stage show out of this TV show? Or since it was canceled, they had just made a movie.
Well, I know that they were talking about it for a while. Jim Jenkins really, really wanted to make a stage show out of it, and he got a director, and they were both talking about it, and they were really talking about, you know, the character of Doug. Who is he? How is he? He was such a really simple character, and they really wanted to focus on a musical for Disney, and, you know, a new musical for Disney, and it seemed to be the perfect fit. And so they did that, and what's amazing about it is that back then, they were just testing out, you know, live stage. And a lot of people thought, because the actors did impressions of the characters, everyone thought the actors were actually, like, the actors had tracks over them. And people thought that the entire show was lip-sync, and it wasn't. Everyone was live. Skeeter was live. Roger was live. Everyone was live. And speaking about Jim Jenkins again, Jim Jenkins was extremely a part of the show. He came during the rehearsal process. He gave his input on some of the characters. He helped with a lot of the characters. And he came in a few times during the show. And then when the show ended, he came. And he really liked the show and really liked what it was about.
So the show was put inside the theater where American Idol stands now. And I believe they had some meet and greet characters. I see a picture of one. Or Patty and Doug.
Yeah, they did have those outside the theater.
Hey, maybe they do have that week, Chris, that they have the old characters
long
come
lost
back.
Friends.
Yeah,
I'm guessing Gary, they still have the rights to Doug, don't they?
Yeah, they do still have the rights to Doug.
Because I know they sold off the rights. They sold off the rights to Power Rangers. They gave that back to whoever.
Yeah, be cool to see Doug walking around again.
So there's a chance. I mean, for Long Lost Friends Week, we'll have the opportunity to go on and vote online for who we want to see in the parks, and if we can get a big swell of support for Doug, that's going to be great. Gary, can you walk us through the show itself? Walk us through the opening and the musical numbers and all that?
Sure. Well, the show was about, you know, it was about a typical day in Doug's life, a typical Doug episode. Doug has his best friend Skeeter and his enormous crush on Patty, and what the show's about is Doug and Skeeter call a radio station and they win Beats tickets. And then Skeeter very nobly offers Doug his ticket so Doug can ask Patty for the dance to the concert. And then the show kind of revolves around Doug getting up the courage to ask Patty. And before he does so, Roger asks Patty. And so Doug and Skeeter go to the concert. And Roger and Patty go to the concert. And then Doug, at the end of the show, Doug walks home with Patty. And then Patty tells him she only went with Roger because he thought it would be fun, but she really wants someone like Doug in her life, for the relationship life.
So was the show based off of an actual episode or a movie, or was it created just for the stage show?
Yeah, it was created. It was its own story. It was created just for Hollywood Studios, complete with original music.
There is one show where Skeeter and Doug win tickets to the Beats concerts from the radio.
Yeah. Yeah. That probably would have been some part of the show, but this one was, you know, a musical.
Oh, wow. Can you talk more about the musical numbers themselves?
Yeah, sure. Well, there was, I believe, five or six songs in the show. Doug sang one, Skeeter has the solos, you know, Roger has the solos, and, the songs were really nice. They were really original, and when they always casted for Doug, I mean, some shows, you know, they say they need singers, but they always said if Doug could pull off the songs or had a good voice, that was fine. Because, you know, Doug wasn't a singer. Doug was an actor. Doug was a person. Doug was a kid. And they didn't want to have, you know, two of a, like, you didn't have to have such an amazing voice to play Doug. And same with the other characters. But although in all the Doug videos, all the actors had extremely amazing voices to play Doug.
Talk about, you said you've got to meet some of the cast?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the cast, the director's name was Claude. He's still directing in Orlando. Jem Broussard, who played Patty Mays in one of the casts, works at Indiana Jones, and so did her husband. And her husband was Roger. yeah, which is funny. And one of the hosts, one of the MCs for Doug, works at Indiana Jones now. So they all, and John, who played Skeeter, still works in Orlando. I mean, they all, still keep in touch. And what's funny about it is Jen Broussard, who played Patty, Indiana Jones, and sometimes she works as a producer for American Idol. So she's in the same theater as she was when she played Patty for Doug.
Oh, that's got to be weird. How did you get to know the cast?
Well, believe it or not, I was always looking for the show, on YouTube and this or that, and just seeing, if I can see the show again. But, when I got home in 2000, YouTube and all that media isn't like it is today. I found nothing. So eventually I found, the YouTube videos. I emailed one of them, and I said, hey, I really like this show. Thank you for bringing it up. And then they said, oh, I was skiing. And then we all just kind of connected. Then we connected on Facebook, and we found everyone. And I was able to, every time I go, I see, one of the old cast members. And it's really cool to see them. I mean, you're seeing them as Doug or Skeeter or Patty or Roger, and then you get to see them in person. And they're really great people.
Why did this show connect with you so much?
The show really connected with me because I love Doug. That character, I felt like he was very like me at the time. I was trying to find myself, trying to find my niche, what I wanted to do. I wasn't good at sports or anything like that. I wasn't Tom whatever and wasn't this golf pro and that basketball pro, not Derek Jeter. I tried sports, but it really didn't affect me. I really didn't want to do it. But then when I saw Doug, I said, Mom, I want to do that. I want to do what they're doing. And then after that, I enrolled in acting classes and singing classes and this and that, and that really sort of inspired me to do theater and stuff. And the show was fantastic for kids. It showed everyone the message of the show was to be yourself, which I think in this day and age could still really help a lot of people.
In the first email you wrote me, you said you talked about what the director has told you, about the production of the show or stuff like that? Like, what kind of stuff went on during the production?
Well, during the production, in the rehearsal process, they had two casts of Doug Live. And what they would do is how they would set the rehearsal schedule up, they would do one scene, and then they would watch a Doug cartoon. And then they would do another scene, then they would do another Doug cartoon. So a lot of the actors, if they didn't watch at home, they had the chance to experience it at the stage and see the cartoon and see their character and try to mold themselves after the character. And Michael Eisner actually helped a lot. And Jim Jenkins was there a lot of the time trying to help everyone mold their characters and trying to see to connect everyone together. And a couple of Disney people were there, and they all, tried to make the show as cartoony but as real as possible. And if you see it, I really think they really achieve that.
So why do you think the show is so short-lived, besides the fact that the show was canceled?
Well, I think it had something to do with the rights. I think that's what happens, with every show closes or something. I know the rights, Disney was trying to deal with the rights and trying to get them back or something. And I guess things just didn't work out. But I believe also because Doug canceled in 99, they said, look, at 2001, it's not on anymore. Let's try to get something new and fresh, which they didn't for 7 years until they got American Idol.
Well, and that's because it was 2001 and you had, of course, 9/11. So Disney had to make some major cutbacks in that time.
Yeah.
And while in that period, no one was laid off from Disney, they definitely cut their operating cost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think, this might be a silly question, but do you think the show would work today with today's audience?
I absolutely do. I mean, so many kids in elementary school and high school, even high school and college, are really trying to find themselves. And the thing is, to find yourself, all you have to do is be yourself, and that's what I learned from Doug. And the show Doug was such a great and inspiring show. That even though, it's only a half an hour long and some people that go in there are just wanting to sit down because they've been walking on lines all day and they just want to sit down. But if you really look at the show and watch the show, it's a very entertaining show. It was very good. It really taught people to be yourself, which I think Doug is, even today, he's such a great character. He can absolutely, connect with today's audience.
there's always that, you don't see many cartoons around these days, mostly on the Disney Channel, you got all live action shows, and same thing with Nickelodeon.
Yeah, right, I mean, in the 90s, it was all about, you know, Rugrats, and Ren and Stimpy, and Rocko's Modern Life, and CatDog, and Doug, and Hey Arnold, and they had so many cartoons then that were so loved, but now, you know, I haven't watched Nickelodeon in years.
Mm-hmm. And I grew up as a Rocko's Modern Life kid, so we're in the same wheelhouse there, Gary.
Yeah.
Do you remember, this is important for our audience, do you remember there being any merchandise associated with the show or the production?
Yeah, there was a kiosk outside the theater where they sell, you know, dolls, they sell t-shirts, they sold pins, you know, the Disney pins. They had three different pins, one for $99, one for $2,000, one for $2,001. They had three different Disney Doug Live pins. Oh, we also had in the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Ryan and I are both going to go on eBay right now and find these pins.
You have to. I have my pins. They sell lunch. They sell little mugs. And I don't know if you know in the show, but at the end, Patty offers Doug Red Hots, which are little cinnamon candies, which they sold at the kiosk outside.
Wow.
But yeah, the pins are there. Every once in a while, you'll see a lunchbox or something.
Walk me through your thoughts when you first learned the show was closing down.
Well, back then, I really wasn't aware that, you know, this show was going to close. I thought it was, you know, the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But as I kind of got older and I learned that why it, you know, closed, and I think every show has to close at some point, you know, to have a new idea. But I wouldn't be surprised if they started Doug again on Nickelodeon. I really wouldn't. Or Disney, for that matter. Or see Doug walking around Disney.
Who currently owns the rights to Doug then? Because Disney bought Jim Jenkins' company on Jumbo Productions or whatever it was.
Yeah. Now Jim Jenkins is with Pizza Palooza or something like that. But yeah, Disney did buy Jumbo Productions, including Doug. Disney still has the rights to Doug. Universal Studios had a Ghostbusters show from 1990 to 1996. The last thing they did with Ghostbusters was in 2005, and then they ended. And Universal still has the rights to Ghostbusters, which is really funny. I mean, even Disney still has the rights to Doug. That's why they keep having these rights if they're really, you know, not going to do anything.
They still have rights to a lot of cartoons. Most of them. A lot of them, they don't even.
They're all on the delay here. For some reason.
The article that you sent me, that's Jennifer Brassard. She works at Indiana Jones.
What does she do there?
She's one of the producers. She watches the show, makes sure everything goes smoothly. Her husband Kevin works there as one of the directors, and he played Roger for a short time. So Patty married Roger.
Wow. After all, and as a kid, like, you were rooting for Doug to be with Patty because you hated, you know, and they always go for the bad guys. So you were really rooting for Doug to get Patty as a kid. Yeah.
And I learned, you know, 12 years later, I was wrong.
Yeah, I'm like you. I could really, as a nerdy little kid, I could really, really relate to Doug. And there's an episode of Doug where Doug's upset about the size of his nose, and Patty says something like, "Oh, that's just, you know, it's just your character. Your nose has character." And I thought, "Wow, what a great message!"
Yeah. And there was an episode. It was a Disney episode. It was when the New Year, and Doug was trying to get a first kiss from Patty. You know, Patty was going to all these parties, and Doug was trying to chase her. And at the end, he's just staring at the wall, basically. And Patty comes right up to him and says, "Hi, Doug." And at that point, you know, as a kid, you're saying, "You got to be kidding me." Doug spent the whole time in the episode trying to find Patty.
But I think if Disney did decide to do anything with Doug, it would first to be bring back the TV show.
Yeah.
Or bring it back as an animated series.
Believe it or not, in the American Idol stage, they still have some Doug stuff there from the show.
Oh, wow. What kind of, like, what kind of stuff? Sets, or?
Yeah, I know Doug's bed is in the attic.
Oh, wow.
And a few props are up there. They're, you know, with Disney, if you don't see it, they'll leave it the way it is. So a lot of the rooms there that haven't been touched by American Idol, because you really don't need to go there, are still Doug. So I have a couple Doug things laying around. I told the girl who played Patty to get me a Doug prop. Well, you know, what else are they going to do with
it? Yeah, right.
And the fun part is that it was a stage show. So, you know, there were mistakes, which were pretty
good. Like lines or...
Lines. And I don't know if you remember, but in the beginning, they hop out of the book. They jump out of the book.
Yeah. Yep.
There was a few times that Roger's foot got stuck, and he just fell over.
Right. Yeah, they do have pretty big shoes.
Yeah.
During the stage show.
They all have clunky, gigantic socks, too.
Yeah.
They're all
I dropped my
down.
Laptop, by the way.
That's how it... Wow.
I dropped... Well, actually, I was letting Hercules in, and he ran over the microphone cord, and it just... The whole thing just went flying. So the fact that I'm talking to you right now is a miracle.
Somebody that did Comedy Warehouse was a sub for Doug. So, you know, he would get let out at 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd call him in a couple hours to come play Doug.
So we should probably get back on topic.
Let's talk about how the Big Book of History, or the Big Book of whatever, what's the book they use?
Really Big Book of Dating for Boys.
Of Dating. That was actually a history book, right?
Yeah, that was actually a history book. And when they flipped through it, it would land to the same page, so most of the time when they would refer to the book, they'd be looking at Holocaust victims.
And that's exactly what I heard.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, man.
That's cool and awful at the same time.
Yeah. Doug, let's refer to the book.
Starving Pig. The book just fell into the... they saw it.
Any other trivia or little-known facts about the show?
Well, you know, I could tell you guys some stuff. It was a live show, so, you know, anything could happen. And there was one time that 15 minutes before the show, if you got there early, they'd pick five people out of the audience, four adults to play the beats, and one person to play Quail Kid. And so Quail Kid had one line, and the one line was, "Quail Man, I believe in you." So when they needed him, Quail Man came out, and Doug, you know, was on the floor dying at this point. And Quail Man just freezes up. And you know, they're all sitting there going, "Come on, kid, say the line." Then eventually Doug leans over and goes, "Kid, say the line." And the kid says it, and then they all, you know, get back to the show. But they waited at least a good minute and a half. And you know,
That's awkwardness, like some of the stuff I've heard from what happens at the Enchanted Tales with Belle meet and greet.
It was a live show, so you know, anything can happen, especially in the beginning, the book scene where they all jump out of the book. Sometimes you'd see an arm and a leg. Sometimes people would trip and come out of it. There was one time that it was during the concert. Doug and Skeeter going to the audience, you know, sitting in their seats, and everyone was trying to get their attention, and they didn't know why. And, you know, they kind of had to ignore them and go on the show, but they kept getting their attention. They said, "Come on, Doug, Skeeter, look behind you." And they finally did, and the guy had a seizure.
Oh, one of the actors or in the audience?
Oh, one of the people in the audience. Thankfully, he was okay. They got him to help, and he was okay, but they had to stop the show. And nothing really, you know, big happened. It was a monitored show. The power went out once, and which, you know, since there was a lot of projection, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I can't really continue unless they start yelling.
Yeah.
Really loud.
And using flashlights.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Michael Eisner was the one who passed on the idea to make the show actually come to fruition.
Yeah.
Not really surprised about that. Do you have anything else to ask, Chris?
Not really. Gary's pretty thoroughly covered the show, including some of the stuff that didn't go right. So just...
Yeah.
I would say there's probably no chance it's coming back.
No, not at all.
Unless Michael Eisner gets rehired.
Yeah, unless Michael Eisner and Jim Jenkins want to do something. I know Jim Jenkins is working on a cartoon now. I wouldn't be surprised if another one of his cartoons came on TV.
And that's going to do it for our history segment this week. Thank you, Gary, for coming on, and I think it's time to wrap up the show.
Thank you.
All right, it's going to be it for us this week. Remember to visit our website, www.discussion.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/WDWDiscussion. Follow us on Twitter at WDWDiscussion, if I already didn't say that. Remember to visit wakefieldreport.blogspot.com and fiestafuncenter.blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter at century_3, Nick at communicore82, Brandon at Bravo Brandon at Bravo_229, and Chris at Wakefield Report.
Actually, and mine's not that anymore.
Are you Mad Hatter now or something?
Oh, wait, Brandon has... What the hell?
Wait, what?
Dude, since Body Wars is getting torn out, he's switching his Twitter name.
Yeah, it's like, screw it, it's over.
Yeah, no hope left for Brava229.
May you
so now fly it's someday now somewhere. It's Mad Hater, spelled Matt
Hater.
It's Mad Mad Hatter, but it's spelled with a bunch of numbers and letters, so it's MADH4773R.
What?
And
nice job, Brandon.
It's time for plugs. Who's going first?
I'm gonna plug wakefieldreport.blogspot.com because nobody else would.
Nobody else would. Especially
no, nobody else is going. No, yeah. Listen to episode 9.
Actually, I'll plug two shows that I'm on. Last few weeks, I'll plug Mouse Chat and I'll plug Generation Mouse. I was invited on those shows in the last month or so. So look on those feeds to listen to me say the same stuff I say on this show.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
What the H? I mean, these are my plugs.
Yeah, I'm just saying, don't do that to our listeners. You can plug whatever you want. I just will reject it.
But they can plug Wakefield Report.
Yeah, what's up with that? He's hating on you, Chris, man.
Okay, I'm gonna plug From Dreaming to Dreamfinder now.
Jeez.
Let's go with Seven Seas Radio. They have a radio show every week on, I think, Thursday nights.
I should start thinking about my plug. I'm up next.
And
let's interrupt.
So give them a listen. It's good programming on there. So.
Yes. And, okay. So now that Brandon plugged Seven Seas Radio, I'm going to plug Sorcerer Radio. They play Disney music all day long, as well as a select different number of radio shows throughout the day.
And on Fridays at 8 a.m., you can listen to the WW Tiki Room, hosted by Kristen, Natalie, and Aljon of Sorcerer Radio. I guess that's going to be it for us this week, so have a good one. Nobody has any last words. We're done.